When was the last time you connected with your long-distance best friend? Your mentor? Your college roommate? Nothing, not even likes and comments on social media, can replace the joy of receiving a holiday card in your mailbox. And with Minted, sending one has never looked more beautiful. Simply upload your photo, choose a card design from an independent artist, then customize the color, shape, and message. For an extra festive touch, add shiny foil accents or upgrade to colored envelopes. Eventful year? Go for a larger format or add a QR code to the back of your card to share what your family's been up to. Upload your contacts and we'll even address your envelopes for free. Check in with your people in a way that matters this holiday season. Use code PODCAST for 20% off your Minted holiday card order.
Word on Today FM.
Music time with John Cadell and Dee Reddy. But it's still the very sad story of Liam Payne that we're going to start with, because last Wednesday night we learned the news from Argentina about his sudden and unexpected death. And it has raised, I think it's fair to say, Dee, all sorts of questions about almost like a duty of care in the industry for young people, because he was still a child when One Direction started off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there has been a real, over the last couple of years, there's been a real reflection on particularly those shows like X Factor and how they sort of catapult people into the public eye in a very sudden way, and what the effects of that are from a mental health point of view. And I think Liam Payne is a good example of why there needs to be more safeguards for people who are put in those positions, and just generally for young people. And there are often young people working in very professional roles within the industry, and they are oftentimes treated the same way as their adult peers. Mm. But their circumstances are very, very different. And their relationship with fans is often different, because I think what you see sometimes with very young musicians, very young artists, is it is their fandom that tends to be have that more heightened parasocial relationship with them. You know, you see it with kind of long-term Taylor Swift fans. You saw it with One Direction, for sure. And you saw it with Take That and other acts over the years. And so that sort of relationship not being managed, it can be very problematic.
It's funny, Dee mentions Take That, because Robbie Williams of Take That was one of those who said he could have gone the same way as Liam Payne, because he had such of his own problems in coping with the fame and adulation and turning to drink and drugs.
Yeah, I mean, Robbie was a mentor on the X Factor the year that One Direction formed. But, I mean, Robbie Williams's history with mental illness and drink and drugs is well documented. And it's the age-old story. I mean, I was thinking over the last couple of days what it must be like for a child from a modest background to be, as Dee says, catapulted into worldwide fame, and how their ego deals with that, how they try and make sense of it from like a child's point of view. Because Liam Payne was 16 when One Direction, and from the off, One Direction were massive. Mm. And the other four chaps as well in the band, how, you know, who was looking after them? Who was helping guide Liam Payne through this like massive change in his life circumstances and everything that comes with it? I mean, the pressure on a child to go out and perform, and guarantee those guys probably didn't have a day off for a year or two after they started. And it's all about feeding the machine. And of course, it's going to, later in life, it's going to come back and it's going to haunt you. And how do you deal with that then as an adult, especially when the band breaks up? And Liam himself said that he wasn't overly enthusiastic about recording new music. So it, you know, it definitely left its mark on him. And there are countless, be it boy band, girl band, pop band casualties who just were worked and worked and worked and left to deal with the everything outside of their career and what it did to them, even as far back as like the 50s with Elvis.
Oh, absolutely,
and,
yeah.
You know, the Apple scruffs hanging around Abbey Road, you know. Just, there's no end to it.
What I will say with the, you know, with the One Direction fans, or even as referenced earlier, the Taylor Swift fans, the way that those fans nowadays, I think, act, like they have almost become the only protectors of people in that situation. I was genuinely very, very moved looking at the footage of Liam Payne's father arriving to the hotel where he had passed away, and local One Direction fans had basically arrived down knowing that there was going to be press and photographers there, and they buffered him from that. They blocked the photographer's view so that they couldn't get that sort of money shot of him going into the hotel, and they were the ones protecting. And I think it's so interesting that fans would actually feel so strongly that they would feel, they see the need, they see the need to protect these people, but the industry itself has too much money to earn.
Well, we spoke on Friday night's Week Trending about disgraceful behaviour of TMZ and the pictures that it posted at the time. And I see as well now that Liam Payne's sister, Nicola, she found out basically because of a news alert.
It's almost like who can get the news out first and who can get the scoop. I mean, it's disgusting.
That's brutal and disgusting, and there is no excuse for it. That's how you would learn how your sibling had passed away.
Okay, look, let's move on and talk about other things. And let's play a little bit of music. And Richard Ashcroft has been named as a support act for the Oasis reunion tour. Lots of the Verve music we could have picked in particular. Here's a little bit of Lucky Man.
Happiness, something in my own place. I'm studi naked, smiling, I feel no disgrace with who I am. Happiness, coming and going. I watch you look up and watch my feet are growing. I know just who I am. And how many corners do I have to turn? How many times do I have to run? All the love I have is in my mind. I hope you understand. I hope you understand.
You know, there's so much Verve music from the turn of the century which still stands up really well. Is he a great choice to have as the... Could he overshadow Oasis?
No.
Not in the minds of the Oasis fans,
no.
I suppose.
Casts no shadow.
He is a great choice, though, because I think a lot of Oasis fans from that era will also have been fans of the Verve. And there is a lovely sort of narrative or story to his relationship with the band, in that Oasis supported the Verve very early in their career, and then the Verve supported Oasis, and, you know, he contributed to one of their albums along the way. So I think for the real Oasis fans that have paid their money to go to the gig, I think, yeah, it's a great choice.
But actually, a listener reminds me, he supported Pearl Jam last year here in Ireland.
Yes, he did. He did. And, you know, the thing about Richard Ashcroft is his new music, only the diehards will be familiar with it, but, like, who wouldn't go and see him? You're going to hear him sing all of these.
Well,
like,
the same
tracks.
Listener says that they would have picked Manic Street Preachers, but Manic Street Preachers played as support to Bon Jovi.
Yeah, that was.
And Manic Street Preachers were wonderful night.
Yeah.
45 minutes of absolute brilliance.
Yeah.
Before then, Bon Jovi.
Yeah. No, they're great. The Manic Street Preachers are great. But no, Cast No Shadow was written about Richard Ashcroft.
That's right, yeah.
The Oasis track, so interesting. But yeah, as you said, there's a long history there and sort of a loyalty to Richard, I think, for these shows.
Okay, let's listen to Picks of the Week. A bit more music. What do you want to give us, Dee?
Yeah, my Pick of the Week this week is from Soda Blonde.
Oh, they're back.
They're back. It is their first new song since their album Dream Big last year, which was for many people one of the albums of the year. It's called Bully. It's apparently based on Faye's stubborn knot of internal dialogue, unrequited love and a longing for acceptance. But it's got a really nice 80s vibe to it, and I very much like it.
What is it that I did wrong? You won't look in my eyes anymore. But everybody all agrees you and I were meant to be. Oh, it's the beginning and we don't know what we got. Don't know what we got. Don't know.
bopping away inside your head, bopping away in the studio, enjoying
that. Argue with that. And yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people bopping along to that on December 7th when they play in Vicar Street.
Your pick of the week, John, is a reissue
of the
week. It is,
Matt. But this is a reissue with a difference. And I am a massive fan of Queen. They're releasing a 6-disc deluxe edition of their very first album. Now, the thing about what makes this intriguing for me is that this album was recorded when Queen had no money. They were basically given the off-cut hours in Trident Studios. So they might get a slot between 2 and 5 in the morning. And they had sort of crappy equipment. It wasn't a great studio. And they were trying to, like, sort of envisage this, their first album.
Is this the one that one of them invented a particular type of amp?
The Deakey amp.
Yeah.
That's John Deacon from...
Yeah, but...
So they recorded this album downtime, basically. And Brian May and Roger Taylor have said, well, what if we had recorded it in a decent studio and we actually got it to sound like it was in our heads? So what they went back and did is they remixed it using 2024 technology.
That's cool.
And the difference is, there's only been 2 songs released from the remixed album. So what we're going to play isn't one of them, but it is a well-known track. But the difference in sound is... It could have been recorded yesterday. And this is baby Queen, remember. This is Queen's for... And shut me up, Matt, because I will go on about Queen forever.
Baby Queen.
This is baby
princess.
Queen. With Prince. So this is their first album. But all the hallmarks are there. Brian May's guitar sound, Freddie's incredible voice, Roger's thrashing drums, and John Deacon just holding down the bottom end. And we're going to take a clip of Keep Yourself Alive. All of the Queen hallmarks are on this song.
In my way, might you grow a little wiser, a little better every day? But if I crossed a million rivers and I rode a million miles, then I'd still be where I started, bread and butter for a smile. And I sold a million mirrors in a shopping alleyway, but I never saw my face in any window any day. Now they say your books are telling you to be a superstar, but I tell you just be satisfied.
I was torn this week because our mutual friend Gavin Friday has a new album coming out this Friday, Matt, so I might look at that for next week. And also, you reminded me, where we're listening to Queen there, of the frontman of another iconic band, the former frontman Paul Di'Anno, who sang on Iron Maiden's first 2 albums. He passed away yesterday. He had been ill, and I'm happy to say that Iron Maiden themselves had helped towards his hospital fees. And he had reconnected with main man Steve Harris in the last few years. So, RIP Paul Di'Anno.
And Stephen in Longford says, John never mentioned that Ozzy Osbourne was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last week.
That's because it's a load of toss.
you beat me to it because you hate the Rock and Roll
Hall of Fame. I hate the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. As I said, like when Robert Johnson was standing at the crossroads and he made the deal with the devil to be able to play the guitar like he did, he also said, will you please make sure in a few years that they open up a museum to rock and roll?
I see Lionel Richie is coming back for another tour.
It's a must. It's a must.
Is it?
Yes. Absolutely. We've both seen him, haven't we?
Yeah. So I was at his fantastic performance on the Pyramid Stage in Glastonbury in... Oh, God, what year?
4 or 5 years ago, was it?
Oh, no.
Longer?
Way
before
forward.
COVID. Do you remember that, John?
I
COVID.
Do.
Nearly 10 years ago. Sorry, 2015. And it was just stunning. And I think one of the things that was so brilliant about it was, you know, everyone knows the Lionel Richie hits, but a lot of people, I guess, had forgotten that he had the hits of the Commodores to play as well.
Yeah.
And so he just did a superb mix that brought you right through funk, soul, and kind of into the more, contemporary 80s pop music. It was superb.
I'm literally just remembering now, I saw him with my wife in St. Anne's Park last year.
Brilliant.
And I think the second or third song he played was Easy. Now, most people would like give their right arm to have Easy as an encore. He just tossed it off in the middle of the set. I've so many hits to play.
And that's and he people played them all. Forget the amount.
Yeah.
So you
Faith No More did a great cover of Easy.
They didn't, and I love Faith No More.
You love a cover though, John.
I love a cover if it's done. Like they basically just carbon copied it and made fun of it. So no, not
I don't
a great
think
cover.
They made fun of it. Let's hear a little bit of Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling.
Sound.
year.
Have you seen him, Matt? Have you ever? It's a must. You
would
have
you go to
go.
Three Arena, maybe, yeah. Indoor. Yeah.
We'll go together.
June 1st.
We'll make that a date, John. Yeah. Finally, I'll go to something with you.
Yeah. You guys are always leaving me out of these gig plans. It's very
Yeah, but I mean, I never follow through in it. I always stand him up.
Yeah, he does.
Listener says, last time Oasis played in Ireland, Kasabian and the Prodigy supported them, and that was before the tickets were 10 times the price.
Yeah, true. And it's funny because people were saying, oh, they should be giving young bands the support slots on Oasis and the Oasis tour, and Liam himself has responded to say, nah, they're not good enough.
All right, we better leave it there. Thank you very much, D Ready, John Cadell.
The Last Word on Today FM.